This is Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. Cross Hope is broadcast daily and shares 5 minutes of hope and encouragement from the Word of God. Our companion website is www.crosshope.org. Now, with today's uplifting message, here's Randy.
When we began our ministry in Columbus, Ohio, years ago, we soon found out that there was a woman in the church that was known as a cake baker. So people told me, if you want a cake that's the best cake you've ever had, you need to have a cake made by Janet. Well, I was pleased then, a few months later, when in November that year, when Janet came out and said, I understand it's your birthday this month, what's your favorite cake? I said, German chocolate. She said, you'll have a German chocolate cake for your birthday. Well, the day came when she brought her 5-year-old son to the office with her, and she brought the German chocolate cake, and I could tell when they walked into the office that the 5-year-old son was really ticked. He was really mad that this beautiful German chocolate cake was going to be wasted on me. And he just see it all over his face. He didn't have to say a word. She gave me the cake. I thanked her profusely. They walked out of my office, and she started talking to one of the secretaries in the outer office. And he turned around and stuck his head back in my office. And with the meanest look you've ever seen on a 5-year-old's face, he said, you don't deserve that cake. You don't deserve that cake. And I was the adult in this situation, and I, the mature one, and I looked at my desk, and I saw a stapler there, and I threw it at him. No, I didn't. I thought about throwing it at him, but I didn't. Come to think of it, maybe I should have, but I didn't. He resented the fact that I got something that he felt that I didn't deserve. It should have come to him. Folks, it's not just 5-year-old boys with German chocolate cakes that feel that way. There are adults in this room. There's somebody in your life that got something, and you say, he didn't deserve that. What did she ever do to deserve that? Why don't I have that coming to me? And today we're going to talk about when good people have bad attitudes as we look at the elder brother in the most famous story that's ever been written aside from the gospel itself. It's the prodigal son. Last week we talked about the younger brother, the prodigal son, who left his father and said, Father, give me everything that I have coming to me. He takes it, he spends it, and comes home repentant. Ask his dad for forgiveness. If you were here last week, you remember the verbiage he used. He even rehearsed his speech, which was interesting to me. He practiced what he was going to say to his father in repentance. And you know the story that the father welcomed him. The father was watching for him to come home and welcomed him and said, let's have a party for my son who's returned. And they killed the fattened calf, which was a great symbol of honor there, to do that for the son and then to have a party. And the older son comes in and he says, what in the world's going on? And he finds out, your brother's home. Oh yeah? He's back, huh? I've been slaving for dad, and the guy that's run off with the money comes back, and we'll talk about the resentment in his life. By looking at the second half of this parable, it's in the Gospel of Luke, the 15th chapter. Jesus is speaking, and we continue with part 2 that begins in verse 25. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. Your brother has come, he replied, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends.
We'll continue this story tomorrow on Cross Hope. That's crosshope.org.
Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. Your brother has come, he replied, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him." "My son," the father said, "you are always with me, and everything I have is yours." Everything I have is yours. "But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." I want to talk about some things in the verses, verse by verse, and then I'm going to share with you briefly four principles that you can write down that will be up on the screen. And I think these are very important principles to take home with you today, maybe more so than some of the other messages I've given to you recently. I really feel that strongly about it. First of all, it says the older son was in the field. He came to the house. He heard music and dancing. I'm always interested in the words. The word for music in the Greek is the word symphonio, where they get symphony. So dad hired a band. He may have had a DJ, I don't know, but he had a big band. And the word for dancing, it doesn't mean dancing, it's the literal Greek word for chorus. So there was a big party going on with people singing, he had singers singing, he had a band playing, and the older son comes in from the field to observe what's going on. And when he finds out what's going on, I want you to notice that in verse 28, the older brother became angry and refused to go in. And so his father went out and pleaded with him. I want you to underline that. I'll talk about that in a minute. The father going out is significant. You remember last week the father went out to the younger son and he ran to the younger son, which was considered culturally inappropriate for an older man to run to a younger man. And so in last week's story, the father runs to the son. And here you have the father, the same dad, going out and pleading with his older son. I find that intriguing. "You never gave me a party. You didn't even give me a goat, let alone a fattened calf. You never had a party for me in all these years I've been slaving." And I want you to notice verse 30. He said, "When this son of yours," he doesn't even call him his brother, "this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf." Couple of things here. Nowhere in the story does Jesus mention that the young man spent his money on prostitutes. Nowhere does the father say that he did. Nowhere does the younger brother admit it. But the older brother assumes the worst, that his brother did that. He probably did. But here's a point I want to share with you. The spirit of the older brother always assumes the worst. Would you remember that? The spirit of the older brother always assumes the worst. You have to watch out for that. I have to watch out for that. Sometimes when we know someone is guilty of one sin, we want to say, well, they're guilty of three. Well, if she did that, I know she did this. Well, if he did this and this, I know he must have done this, this, and this. And we attribute to people guilt that's not necessarily there. I've done that and you've done that. And I want you to notice also that he confessed the sins of his brothers. The spirit of the older brother is to confess the sins of other people. Have you ever confessed someone else's sin? Sure you have. So have I.
Well, there's just so much to talk about in this passage. We'll continue tomorrow on Cross Hope. That's crosshope.org.
If you find yourself always in the place of confessing other people's sin, you know what? One of the most spiritual things that can happen to you is for the Lord to convict your spirit of that and say, you know, I'm always confessing someone else's sin. I need to confess my own. Nowhere, listen to this. This is important. I didn't say this in first service. Nowhere in the Bible does it say, confess your brother's sins. Nowhere does it say, confess your sister's sins. Nowhere does it say, confess your neighbor's sins. It says, confess your sins to one another. And my sin. To one another. And that's a significant point. "My son, everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead." The Greek word for dead here is nekros. We get the word necrotic. Flesh that's necrotic is dead flesh. And that's the word that's used here. This son was literally dead, but he's now alive again. He was lost and is found. I want those of you that take notes to write down 4 points. I want to give them to you. They're a little long. I try not to be too wordy, but sometimes I have problems. I'm just a little wordy. That's what happens in life. Let's bring up the first one. The older brother probably resented his younger brother long before the prodigal incident. The older brother probably resented his younger brother long before the prodigal incident, and then parenthetically, most of our resentment and bitterness has a history. If you're 30 and above, you probably have some history with bitterness and resentment with somebody. I mean, you can be 20 and above and have a history. You can be 15 and above and have resentment history. But I think if you're 30 and above, it's safe to say that you've got a history of resentment or some bitterness that you carry. Please remember that word. We're going to talk about that later. We carry our bitterness and resentment toward another person. And most of our bitterness has a history. Let me tell you a funny story that illustrates it. Fred Craddock was a professor at Phillips University in Enid, Oklahoma. He was often called upon at the last minute to speak on Sunday mornings if a minister became ill. He was an ordained minister as well as a professor. So churches would call Fred Craddock and say, "Can you preach today?" Sunday school teachers would call and say, "I'm ill today. Could you fill in for me at such and such a church?" One Sunday morning at 7 o'clock, the phone rings. "Fred, can you cover for a Sunday school teacher at our church who's ill with an adult class?" He said, "What's the text?" And the person said, "They're talking about Luke 15, the parable of the prodigal son." And Fred Craddock said his initial reaction was, "Oh, these people have heard this 100 times before." And then he thought, "I know what I'll do. I'm going to change the story and see if anybody even picks up on it." So he gets up and said, "Today, folks, we're going to talk about a parable that Jesus told about a younger son who asked his father for all the money, and he ran away and he spent it on prostitutes. And when he came back home, his father reprimanded him. His father let him have it with both barrels. His father demanded an accounting of every dime he spent. And the father put his arm around the younger brother and said, 'Why can't you be like your older brother, who's never disobeyed my orders and who's been faithful and slave for me every day?'" And Fred Craddock said there was a woman in the back who just spoke out loud without raising her hand. She said, "That's the way it should have been. That's the way it should have been." You know what that woman was doing? She had a history of bitterness. She had a history of resentment. And without even realizing it, she let it out to everybody in that room that she was carrying bitterness and resentment to somebody. For somebody.
Well, I have the feeling that this is resonating with somebody like you or like me. Is that not true? Our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org.
Most of the resentment and bitterness in your life, in my life, has a history. Let's bring up the second point. The sin of the older brother was more respectable than the sins of the younger brother, but just as much a sin. Resentment and bitterness don't start out as sin, but they always end up that way. With the younger brother, you have what's called the sins of the flesh. You know, I think he probably did spend the money on wine, women, and song. I think that's probably a given in the context of the story. But the elder brother was guilty of what we would call the sins of the spirit. And you know what most people in churches in the United States of America think? Well, it's more respectable to have the sins of the Spirit because I would never do what he's done morally. I would never do what she's done morally. And we elevate ourselves and we place ourselves on a pedestal saying, well, we would never commit those sins, but we think nothing, absolutely nothing of committing the sins of the Spirit, which is resentment and bitterness. And I've said this before, and it's probably one of the strongest statements you'll ever hear any minister say. It was said by a minister friend of mine who said he believed that bitterness was the cancer of the soul. And he went on to say that he thought that some people would be better off with a physical cancer than to have the cancer of the soul and spirit, which is bitterness and resentment. You may have trouble accepting that, but there's some people that say, yeah, it's probably right. It's probably true in terms of eternity. The sin of the older brother was much more respectable than the sins of the younger brother, but just as much a sin. Let's bring up the third point as we move along here. The older brother refused to go into the party because of his resentment and bitterness. He said, "I'm not going in." He was angry. He would not go in. What does our resentment and bitterness cause us to do? That's an interesting question. Who are the people in your extended family that you have said, I will not go into them to speak to them? Who are the people at work that you say, I will never speak to him again? You know, people can develop a resentment toward a church and say, well, I'll never darken the door of that church again. I've heard hundreds of people over the years tell me about a church experience and say, you will never catch me walking through the door of that church. You will never catch me worshiping with those people. And so we all carry that baggage, all of us do, with people that we refuse to give energy to, emotional energy to, because of our resentment and bitterness. And here's the personal question. What's it done in your life? The greatest source of wounds in marriage, according to one expert, is this. There's one thing that creates wounds in marriage more than anything else, and it's not what people think it is. It's this: to withdraw your spirit from your spouse. The greatest source of wounds is when a husband either says it or just does it, he pulls his spirit away emotionally and psychologically away from his wife. Or when a wife psychologically, emotionally pulls her spirit away from her husband, that's the greatest source of wounds. But the thought occurred to me, people do that every day with somebody they know. People do that with their family members. We pull our spirit away. We pull our spirit from somebody at work. Well, I'll keep him at arm's length. Just see if I ever talk to him again. We do things like the elder brother. What has resentment and bitterness caused you to do?
Well, as we conclude this message tomorrow from Luke 15, I want you to hear an illustration that's going to speak to you in a powerful way about the biggest problem that most people face in their lives. That's tomorrow on Cross Hope. Our website is crosshope.org. One word, crosshope.org.
The older brother was just as lost as the younger brother. He just didn't know it. The older brother was just as lost as the younger brother. He just didn't know it. I don't know the name of the school, but there was a medical school in the Midwest years ago. A minister friend of mine shared this with me. He found it and sent me a copy, or emailed me a copy of this. A medical school sent a survey to the graduates of that school and said, how much money are you making? What kind of practice are you in? Do you work with other doctors, or are you solo practice? And they had all these survey questions with this doctors who graduated from this particular medical school. And then this question was asked: what is the number one problem that you face in your career today? And you know what? The number one problem, as they brought the hundreds of surveys together, was hostility. Isn't that interesting? You thought, well, it'd have to do with money, it had to do with this. No, it was hostility. Hostility toward whom? Toward their patients, hostility toward other doctors, hostility toward hospitals, hostility toward insurance companies. I can understand that one, but I won't go into that. But you know what I mean? In other words, that was the number one problem they faced. And then as I talked to my minister friend about it, here's what he said. He said, Randy, it's not just for doctors. That's the number one problem for everybody. The reason doctors said the number one problem for us as graduates of this school is hostility is probably every graduate of every school, of every high school, and every college, every university would say, yeah, the number one problem in my life is hostility toward other people. Hostility, get this, to people who are alive, and hostility toward people who are dead. Hostility toward people who are dead. I would think in this story, it's not said, but the father could say to the older son, just because I reach out to your younger brother doesn't mean I don't reach out to you. Just because I forgave your brother doesn't mean I don't forgive you. Just because I love him doesn't mean I love you any less. Both sons needed to come home. The younger son needed to come home geographically. The older son needed to come home emotionally and spiritually. The father in this story is the star. It's not the son. It's not the younger brother. It's not the older brother. The star of this movie, folks, I hope you understand, is the father. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, was giving a parable of his father and your father. And that's what Jesus was doing. He wanted you to get a sense of what the Heavenly Father's like. He welcomes the prodigal. And he welcomes the elder brother. He said, I love you both. You know, most church people, if they were honest, can identify more with the older brother than they can with the prodigal. The point is this. It doesn't matter who you identify with. You've got to identify with the Father. That's the point. That is the point. You need to come home to the Father. The point is, both boys needed to come home to the Father. The essence of the story is not which one are you. The essence is this. Do you know the Father? That's the bottom line. I don't care which one you are, which one I am. Do you know the Father? The Father who loves you more than you love yourself. The Father who loves you more than you ever will love yourself. The Father who loves you with a love that's beyond compare. I don't care what kind of relationship you had with an earthly father. You may have had a non-existent relationship with an earthly father. You may have a lot of baggage about a terrible relationship, but get this. Jesus didn't say in this story, come home to your father. He said, come home to the Father.
Well, last week on Cross Hope, I mentioned that I'm in India, Southwest India, in the state of Kerala, and Dubai, United Arab Emirates, speaking, teaching, and preaching. Keep me in your prayers as I return next week. God bless you, and thanks for listening to Cross Hope.
You've been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information about this ministry or to re-listen to any message heard on this broadcast, go to our website at crosshope.org. Be sure to join us at this same time each weekday or listen at www.crosshope.org. Cross Hope is listener-supported and is produced by Cross Hope Ministries, Incorporated.